My guest is Dr. Z. He is an ER doctor for Riverside Community Hospital. He is also a faculty member of UC Riverside. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So now I understand you spent 20 days working at Lincoln Hospital in New York in the South Bronx earlier in this pandemic. What made you decide to go, and how was the experience?
So Gavin Newsom, our governor, was looking to find a group of doctors that would go to New York and help with this pandemic because they were among the hardest hit areas in the United States. And so they're looking for doctors, and I volunteered to go. My co-faculty at Riverside Community Hospital agreed to take my shifts and allow me to donate my time to fly to New York. So I thought that's what I needed to do at that time.
And what did you think you were stepping into, or what were you thinking about on that flight over there?
So I was pretty nervous on the flight over there. I didn't know at all what I was going to expect. I had heard terrible things in the news about all the COVID and people on ventilators on the floor and all the serious things going on in the emergency departments there. So I wasn't really sure what I was going to expect.
So you're going under these conditions. You're now going to a different hospital that you know your hospital like the back of your hand because you spend so much time there. You know the routine, you know the nurses, yeah. All the staff. You go into this location not really knowing. How was the experience?
Yeah, that's what emergency medicine prepares us for. Mm-hmm. We're prepared to kind of walk into any situation and be able to deal with whatever comes through the door. That's actually what I love about my job, is sort of ready to take care of whatever walks into the door. If it's a critically ill infant or somebody addicted to drugs or anything in between, we're kind of ready to take care of it. So I knew that I would have to rely on my training as an emergency room physician to go into this new setting. And it took a little while. We had an orientation, a couple hours, and then I jumped right into it until I was ready to see the patients that came through. And yeah, it takes a while to get used to a different system, but you have people there who are willing to help, and you have residents there that are willing to help you with the kind of intricacies of a new system.
And I'm anticipating that they probably welcomed you with open arms, stepping into the fire, in essence, to help residents in the New York community.
Yeah, so the real heroes are the ones who are already working there and were working there the whole time and had no choice but to kind of see the onslaught of patients that came into the emergency department. They were definitely accepting of anyone coming in to help. There was nurses from out of state who were there. All sorts of different ancillary staff coming from everywhere in the United States, and they were very welcoming of physicians. I think a big part of it is also they were wanting to tell their stories. You know, they wanted to be heard. They wanted people around the United States to know what they were going through and hopefully prevent what they were seeing from happening elsewhere.
And so what did you find when you were there and working in the thick? What did you see? What did you experience?
So the big thing that I experienced and the real heartbreak was the mental health issues that I think don't get spoken about enough. When I was there, the rate of COVID patients started coming down already, so I wasn't there at the peak. Mm. But I feel like I was there at the peak of the mental health epidemic that was going on. The nurses were, heartbroken, and doctors were, mentally drained from all the heartbreak that they were going through and all the sick patients and deaths that they were seeing over the last several weeks. So I was there really to relieve some of the physicians. I was able to relieve them and they could go home and spend time with their family while I took care of the emergency department while they were gone.
So when you talk about mental health, you're talking about what the staff, the nurses, the doctors were living with in obviously the amount of patients they were probably losing, but also the ones they were trying to save. So that's the mental health, the anguish they were living with.
It's exactly right. That was very powerful for me to kind of experience from my colleagues. Usually you don't experience that from fellow physicians, but I was definitely experiencing that from everyone there in New York City, from the people the people just on the street, on up to the physicians and ancillary staff. And I felt like that was my big role when I went there.
And did you hear from some of the doctors, nurses, or staff that said maybe when they did come back, did you talk to some of them and what the relief they might have appreciated?
You mean the physicians in New York?
Yeah, when the physicians, you know, you were there for 20 days, so, you know, you're relieving them. Did you get to meet some of them that when they did come back, or did they share with you?
Oh, I met all of them. I signed out to them, and I took sign out from them. And they were very relieved to be able to go home. And, you know, many of them hadn't seen their families and had been working every single day for a month and had not been able to spend quality time with their families. And I was able to, you know, talk to them about their experiences and then have them go and spend some quality time with their family while I worked.
Let me reintroduce our guest as Dr. Sam Zee. He is an ER doctor for Riverside Community Hospital. He's also on the faculty at UC Riverside, and he spent 20 days in New York kind of as a relief pitcher for the physicians in New York in the South Bronx. When you talked to them, you said you got to hear some of their stories, and this is where they were telling you, I finally got to see my family, or what were they telling you?
So they were having to watch, patients come in who were terribly ill and had to resuscitate patients. Usually you get, you know, two or three sometimes resuscitations and critical ill patients in a shift. And then they were just getting back-to-back critically ill patients who were dying every hour. And this was terribly draining for the physicians and for the nurses. They're having to watch patients decompensate without having their family members around and unable to really talk to their families because of COVID. So they were having to tell their family members what was going on through iPads and things like that that are very not ideal. And that was heartbreaking for everyone. Those are just kind of some of the stories.
Right. I can't even imagine what that would be like to be the physician giving the information and trying to make it work and being the patient or the family.
So I would see nurses coming out of rooms with tears in their eyes after they had to tell a patient that they were going to need a breathing tube, and the patient had no family members around, and they could only speak to someone over broken kind of iPhone connection. And it was very tough situation mentally.
So you come back to Riverside and you go back to your ER. What is the difference that you see compared to New York, or just to be back home? And, you know, how are things in Riverside compared to how they were in New York at this point?
Yeah, so Riverside is definitely a hot spot in terms of the Inland Empire cases of coronavirus, but it's not as severe as I saw in New York. So I think we've taken a lot of the lessons from New York City and have succeeded in some ways to flatten the curve. The Inland Empire is much more spread out than New York City, and I think that contributes. But the degree of and the influx and the onslaught of COVID that New York City saw is not that way in RCH and in Riverside, which is great.
Now, at this point in New York, things have calmed down as well. I mean, it's still going on, but it has calmed down there.
Yeah, it has calmed down significantly. There, I think it's because of the increasing vigilance and attentiveness people have about social distancing and making sure that non-essential businesses stay closed. I think that's done a great job in flattening the curve.
Did you make friends in New York?
So before I came to Riverside, I had actually spent several years as an attending physician in New York City. So I knew a lot of people there, and I kind of was familiar with the healthcare system a bit. which is why I volunteered. Additionally, that's why I volunteered. It was a system that I was familiar with. I'm heading back into. But because of social distancing and quarantine, I essentially spent, you know, when I wasn't in the emergency department, I would just stare at the wall in my hotel room.
Have you stayed in touch with some of the physicians or staff members that you met, or you did your thing and you came on back?
I have. I have stayed in touch with them, many of them. And they're all pretty concerned about a second wave, although they haven't seen a second wave yet, but everyone's pretty concerned, especially now with everyone out and protesting.
Right.
And businesses starting to open up again. There's a pretty strong concern that the cases of coronavirus will flux again.
As I mentioned in your introduction, that you are also a faculty member at UC Riverside.
That's right.
What will you teach your students about this?
So the students right now are in an incredible time to be medical students. They're seeing a very unique time period in American healthcare. What I'm telling them right now is to be very vigilant about social distancing and making sure that they identify vulnerable populations and take care of them and stay vigilant.
Related to our Inland Empire communities, what is your takeaway from this point moving forward about COVID-19? Sounds like you think there might be a resurgence down the road.
So once everything opens up and, you know, people start going out again, there will be likely additional spike in cases just because people are out there socializing and spending time with one another. So it's important, I think, very important to protect vulnerable populations and make sure that anyone who has chronic medical conditions or spends a lot of time with the elderly, those are the populations that you really need to focus on now that our general society is starting to open up. It's important to focus on those who are specifically vulnerable. And I really wanted to focus on the mental health. I think that's something that was very powerful to me that I don't know that I recognized prior to flying to New York. Is just how hard hit everyone was mentally.
And how will you get out there? What steps will you take to, you know, you're saying it is opening up. You too are, you know, part of our community. What
sure.
steps will you take? Will, you know, personally, what will you try to do? Will you wear a mask? What will you do personally, Dr. Z?
Absolutely. I think wearing a mask is important, especially if you're symptomatic. Please wear a mask, as we know that spreading respiratory droplets is worse when you're symptomatic, and that masks can prevent that. I haven't seen my parents, you know, in many months, so I will continue to socially distance myself from my elderly parents until the CDC guidelines kind of suggest that it's safer to see them, making sure that everyone gets tested. So I've gotten tested already, you know, three times since I went to New York before coming back. So making sure that everyone gets tested and knows whether they have it. And if you're symptomatic, wear a mask and socially distance.
Very good. Dr. Z, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for giving of yourself to help those in New York, and we're glad to have you back right here in the IE.
Thank you so much.